CliffCentral.com.
There we go. Done. Oh my God. What a way to start. I'm like moaning and complaining about things. Oh my God. Come on. All right. Here we are. I know you heard the whole thing. CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. Well, they told me I was going to be load shed last night and I wasn't. So I was all like ready for that and then it didn't happen. So, I mean, that's a good disappointment, right? That's, what did the ANC say when they think they've done a good... In fact, Thabo Mbeki said that this week. He said, we didn't have a good story to tell. But remember when they were trotting that line around? They were going, oh, we've got a good story to tell. My good story to tell is when like the ANC don't do the load shedding that they said they were going to do. Then it's a good story to tell. So there we go. All right, good morning, everybody. We've got Pumi Mashiho, we've got Sia Sangwedi, we've got you, and we've got me. It's going to be lots of fun this morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited to get cracking with some pretty awesome stuff, and we're going to be speaking to some very cool people this morning. Hello, Pums.
Hey, hey. What's up, Bubez?
That's a very smart microphone you have there.
Hey, Gareth, I'm building up the... Working from home, or is that living at work experience?
I know. It looks very impressive. It's very impressive. It's all starting to look so super professional.
Got an influencer light, so the lights, you know, is working. Got a microphone. Got a big screen. The whole thing is coming together like a well-timed fuck.
It's the best line.
What now?
It's the best line in the world. You've never heard that, Sia? It's the best line ever.
In all of my 12 years, I've never heard that.
It's the best line in the world.
No, it's...
I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
It's the greatest line ever. So, first things first, where do we begin with this? I mean, there's... I'm going today, just to end the ESCOM conversation once and for all, because we'll never have to have it again after today. I'm going to collect an inverter and battery operation for the studio at home so that it is always up and running and we never have these problems again. I'm so excited about it. I can't tell you. Like, there have been a couple of things during lockdown that I've enjoyed and that I've thought were cool. Number one was the fact that we could work from home. And especially in the winter, obviously that has its advantages, right? Second one is that we could get guests from all over the world to join us on this system that we've got now so that we can speak to people internationally, not just locally. And it's very, very exciting. The third thing is probably this inverter, because as I understand it, I plug the thing in and then I plug into that all the things that I cannot allow to not work during load shedding, I've got this mixing desk and the what we call the Comrex, and then the laptop, and then the light, and all of that stuff. And if that stuff all works, then we're good. Then we never have to worry about these problems again. Isn't that cool?
Oh, yeah. You just got to get the right people to set it up. That's the only thing.
I think so. Apparently I'm setting it up myself.
It's the little things that are big things.
Like the studio at home, I'm setting it up myself. I mean, I still can't, like some mornings I can't believe things work, you know, just because I had to plug this into that and that into this, and it's unbelievable. Anyway.
So we make it happen.
Tracy says at last, inverters saved my life and my sanity. Yeah, so there we go. Very good. Gavin says,
listen here, Hugo and Gavin, I see you and that shade.
Yeah. Gavin says, gone are the days of looking straight up Pumi's nose. And Hugo, Pumi looks way better instead of just that up the nose shot from the tablet or iPad.
Oh, how far.
Well, have you known that I drove halfway home last night from the office and then realized that I had forgotten the big machine at the office. So I had to go all the way back.
Because you were not going to go back to those days.
Well, just leave me alone, because I want to tell you that because StreamYard actually doesn't work off mobiles.
Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
It's so funny. It's so funny how much the show has changed in the past year.
Yeah.
You know, we started doing the show virtually, but we weren't doing video. And then sometimes we would see each other, and then sometimes we would not. And I now can't even imagine doing the show not being able to see you guys. I don't know how we did that.
It would be weird, right?
So weird. Anyways.
So a friend
how
of mine,
much the world changes.
A friend of mine lives in Vancouver in Canada, and he sent me this story this morning about people are planning to ride their bikes naked through Vancouver next week and invite you to join them.
Why? So
what's the cause?
Who knows? Okay, so cycling is bad enough without nudity, but now you add nudity to the mix and cycling becomes even more horrible. Who knew that was possible?
Like that chair on your ass. Without like a padded,
Yep.
I don't know what kind of cause would make me want to chaff my behind in such a manner.
I think it's the most...
And what's a Vancouver summer like?
This is the most terrible thing. Vancouver summer is not that much better than our autumn, I would say, at best. It rains a lot in Vancouver. It's not, you know, people go, Canada's just cold. Well, it is for a lot of the year, but there are parts of Canada that have reasonably temperate times through the summer. And, you know, if you live in Saskatchewan or Alberta, you get very few warm months, but... In Vancouver, it's actually quite pleasant some of the time, but it does rain a huge amount. So you're going to have naked cyclists slipping around on the streets. I think it's totally unnecessary. But, you know, it's also like Vancouver's one of these extremely like liberal places in the world where, you know, like even the homeless
people can cycle around naked.
Yeah, but even the homeless people advertise that they are LGBTQ and tell you their pronouns before they beg you for money. It's very weird. It's like easily one of the weirdest places. It's like Seattle or Portland or any of those places where, you know, everybody's super woke. So I think it'll be funny to see all these nude people cycling through Vancouver in the wet, probably all trying to outwork each other during the bike ride. It's going to be hilarious.
You must ask what all this is in aid of.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just for fun. This is what people in Vancouver have to do these days for entertainment. So the article is, and they invite everyone to join them. They're like, come along, come and be a part of this. So this is from 604 Now. It says, World Naked Bike Ride comes to Vancouver this June and aims to be a positive. Oh, that was very loud.
Sorry, guys.
Aims to be a positive protest against car culture. Oil spills and pipelines. Car culture.
Cool. You can protest that with your clothes on.
Yeah, exactly. But they decided not to. So this year's ride will take place on the 12th June, beginning at noon. They have to take advantage of the 1 or 2 hours of hot they get. So the one woman has less gas, more ass as her...
Girl, honey... No, I don't want to.
That's written on
the back. Thanks, Gareth, I'm done.
Participation and activities during the day are free. And ride details, it's 8 to 10 kilometers. It's leisurely. Bear as you dare and be creative is the dress code. Parking, there's plenty of paid park rules. Wear a helmet. Organizers want all riders to be safe, so you can't be totally naked. Nudity is not mandatory. Wear fun, attention-grabbing clothes, costumes, accessories, and paints. It's a body-positive event. Respect the diversity of many different body types and genders. You see, this is what I mean about them being so woke in Vancouver. It is not, they're very clear here, this is not a sexual event. Organizers want everyone to feel safe. This could have been written by, Nancy Pelosi. Acting in a sexual way will get you removed. Actually, it's illegal. Private parts are still private. Don't grope, touch, or ogle other people's privates.
Oh, God.
Please do not bring your or their private parts up as a topic of conversation with someone you don't know.
Ruth, how can I not? Colony.
That's so
listen,
great.
I'm... Did this come from it? It says it's coming to Vancouver, which means it's come from somewhere else. Is this like a thing that happens in the world?
No, it's been there before. It's apparently happened in years before. So they're doing this as a return to. Obviously, they mean after the pandemic, where they cancelled all these events.
But you mention, you know, the homeless people of, you know, for example, Portland and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The idea of homelessness in other countries is also intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching a lady from the US, a homeless lady in the US, who has quite a lot of high views on TikTok.
Okay.
Because she often updates people on how she survives being homeless. So, you know, I have to wrap my mind around it, because firstly, you're homeless and you have a phone.
Yeah, of course.
And then you're homeless and you're still able to access the internet. And she's homeless, but she sleeps in her car. So that is so far removed.
She's got a car, yeah.
From what we experience in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when we were in New York and I went to the Daily Show to a taping of Trevor Noah's show.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's quite an early call time for shows like that. And then you have to queue and all of these formalities before you actually sit down as part of the audience.
Sure.
And I was queued up next to this, you know, I'll say like late 30s, early 40s gentleman. We were having a great conversation about how he's traveled and what he's watching on Netflix. And oh my gosh, what he has to do the next day. And then he has to go there next week. And right as we're about to get seated, I can't remember what it was, but he let slip that he's homeless. And I'm like, wait. You're homeless and you can watch Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're homeless and you can like travel. This is
housing security is a thing in the States. Hey, housing security is a thing in the States, and they also have like shelters, but the shelters, the homeless shelters have rules. You have to get there before a certain time. You have to. You can only have a certain amount of staff.
But they also
and even in the projects. Gareth.
They have rent control in the major cities as well.
Yeah.
So like in New York, you could live in a really expensive building and your next door neighbor could be someone who has no money at all because they have rent control. So what they do is they try to like mix in like three poor people with three rich people and that kind of thing. And it's usually a disaster because what happens is the landlords eventually go, look, I'm not building a building for a bunch of people who can't pay me rent. So then they want to sell their property and then a lot of buildings go derelict or they get filled up with homeless people or people who can't pay their bills. And then the whole building starts to deteriorate because no one's paying for anything. So it's a bit of a mess, but it's, you know, it's part of people trying to, there's this obsession which the world has, good or bad, with equality. So it does happen. Like even in New York, in the most expensive places, you get someone who lucks out. Yeah, they luck out and they get like a 4-bedroom apartment in some amazing building.
But they also have like, you know, like the projects and stuff. They also have places like that are designated for people with low incomes.
Yes.
And you can rent from the city in that place.
Yeah.
But and then they have funny rules, like you have to earn a certain amount or below a certain threshold. So if you're like a waitress and you take up extra shifts to make more money, you get thrown out of the place that you live in. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because you're now earning more.
Well, that's it. So it's
crazy. But you don't earn enough to have a proper apartment of your own, but you earn too much to stay in this government subsidized.
So can you imagine how confusing that is? Because one minute you're subject to market forces, the next minute some politician has made a rule that makes it possible for you to live way beyond your means. And then people get confused because they have things given to them for nothing, which they didn't earn, and they have things taken away from them, which they thought they had earned. It must be very confusing. It really is.
So I
just want to take you to a quick update on all of the coronavirus affected people at cliffcentral.com, right? So yeah, what's the tally at the moment of our infected people at Cliff Central?
Six.
Okay, so we get six people who have tested positive for coronavirus at Cliff Central, and somehow Sia and Rena and Spike.
Six out of 11.
Sia, Rena, Spike, and I have managed to avoid getting sick. Or maybe we had coronavirus before. We don't know. But here is Bulelo, who is full of beans, and he's complaining. You know, Mbulelo's really making fun here of all the celebrities who feel that it's important to tell the world. And remember, this was a big thing last year this time when celebrities were telling everybody how they we're all in this together. Remember that crap? Well, look here. Here's Mbulelo sharing exactly that with us. Look here. Being sarcastic.
Hi, I've got COVID, and I just came from a full fridge right now. And I am at my Santon apartment, Morningside. It's one of the tougher places to have COVID, really, on this planet. It's been incredibly difficult to stay here with internet, a full fridge, and an incredibly safe apartment. It's just, we're all in it together.
So that's exactly what remember that stuff? When we had celebrities doing that and singing songs about, oh my God, we're all going to be okay. And, you know, Gal Gadot and Imagine. So you thought that was bad. Then today, yesterday rather, we inquired, you know, like, how's everybody doing with coronavirus? Well, I didn't. Rena did. I mean, she's much better at this than me.
Yeah, Gareth, you need to beef up your sympathy here.
I'm not sympathetic. I'm not sympathetic. The survival rate's 99%, everybody. I mean, can you imagine if we treated everyone who had a cold like this? Here's the second update.
Yes, we aren't saying they're going to die, but well, just then, saying, hey, how are you doing today?
But what's the severity how long has it been?
So everybody's okay at this stage, and we have spoken to a couple of doctors and tried to get everybody advice. So it's not as if we're being completely, well, I'm certainly not being completely insincere and unkind, but you know, like Rena's checking in on everybody and we're all talking on our group and all that stuff. So the only one who's got it pretty bad at this stage is Jane, which is not surprising because Jane is very dramatic. So even if everything was exactly the same as it is for everybody else, Jane would be pretending it was way worse. Because she's good at that stuff. You've met Jane 100 times, Pumi. You know what we're talking about, right? She likes to. She's the queen of drama. She's our own Sophie Ndaba. Anyway, so this is Mbulelo's second update yesterday when we checked on everybody to see how everyone's going. So he says this.
Hi, Rena. Thanks for asking. I've actually just ordered food online now, and I'm fully aware of when the driver will get here. So that's quite uncomfortable because I've got COVID, obviously. I just don't like anything being in the unknown. And, you know, it's incredibly hard. I've just closed my fridge, which can barely close. There's just so much food in there, and the comfort is actually a little bit much. It's, thoughts and prayers, we're all in it together.
He's an idiot.
Oh, he's such an idiot, but I love that. And, you know, it won't be long before he gets a whole bunch of other people who are living reasonably comfortable lives in very well-fitted apartments with full fridges to get on the internet with him and tell us all how they're doing. You know, we need to know.
But doesn't he live in a commune and stuff? He's exposing all these people.
Not anymore, no. But it was so funny because he said, what did he say, Sia, about he'll let us know whether he's tested positive or not? And you actually thought he was being sarcastic, but he was being sincere.
Yeah. He said, I'm staying positive, and now I've also tested positive. Because over the past couple of days, he's just been saying, yeah, guys, we must stay positive and test negative. Just that's what needs to happen. So I really thought he was joking when he told us how he's really doing.
It's crazy.
But Gareth, don't worry then. We make it up on your behalf. Like, I do my rounds every day. Like, yesterday I was calling everyone individually. Hi, how are you doing? Are you fine?
People just need that every once
in a while.
What day are they in their sick cycle?
Because
if you have a mild case, it takes about 2 weeks.
I would say for most of them, it was like Thursday, Friday last week.
That they found out that they had it. But whoever had it must have passed it
on
to
everyone. No, when they started showing symptoms. Oh, okay. But when, like, the test results came back, that was, like, mostly over the weekend.
Mm. But then
very technical.
They would have already have been contagious on Tuesday last week, because that's when it supposedly started spreading, right?
I think it spread more on Friday.
So how long do we know? How long until we know that it's safe to go back to the office?
I actually don't know.
I want to cut to the chase here. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be fine. And I hope they will, obviously. But when do we all get back to work? Because I was meant to go in on Tuesday this week. I'm like a little bit annoyed.
I don't know, because they're all on different cycles and we don't want to tempt anything just yet.
Hey,
Gareth does not care.
Doesn't help me. I don't know how to plan around that.
Just go to the office. Let's see. Just go to the office, Gareth. Yeah, you be our guinea.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not like just being, you know, wild at a restaurant and ordering something you've never ordered before. No,
it really is.
No, if Gareth is sick, then we can't do the ENCA show, then he can't do meetings in person, then no, we can't have that.
Well, let me ask you this. How long until I know that I'm not carrying it and I won't pass it on to anyone else? Because that's all I'm concerned about. I don't mind if I get sick. I'm really not terrified of corona. I said this from the start last year, and I haven't changed my mind at any stage. So I don't care if I get sick, but how do I know that I'm not making other people infected? Because that's the only thing I worry about. So how long do I have to wait until I'm sure that I'm not a carrier?
Sian, you've never had it before. So
I might have. I say I might have in May last year. I think I might have had it a year ago.
I think it's probably like 10 days. That's okay. The thing that I've heard, that if you're like quarantining or self-quarantining like 10 days, and if you have it from when the symptoms stop, you have like a week.
Oh my God.
Before, you know?
A week after symptoms. That's crazy. We'll only get back to work in July. I can't do this.
And so when are you going to start counting your 10 days from, Gareth? Like, which day?
I don't know. This is so confusing. I was really...
When was the last time you were in contact with any of the people who
Tuesday.
Are positive?
Tuesday last week.
Okay.
Yeah, so you should be...
I should be okay by tomorrow then, if you take the 10-day rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then tomorrow...
If you've got no symptoms, you should be fine.
Tomorrow, you will see me in the office tomorrow.
I mean... maybe on Monday.
No, what's wrong with tomorrow, Sia?
Sia, please can you show them your All By Myself video? This is hilarious. This I'm sure you've seen it on social media, but Sia was walking around the office on his own on Tuesday. We always have our ops meeting and everybody's at the office on a Tuesday, and it's like our day to catch up with each other and make sure everything's running properly. And Sia was walking around the building on his own. There was no one else there. And he made this hilarious. This is the funniest video I've seen. I would get onto TikTok. I would start my own TikTok account just to watch this video if I hadn't already seen it on Instagram and everywhere else. And then we've got to get to headlines. So as soon as Sia showed us his video, we've got to climb into the headlines and fully check out.
All I'm trying to know. Let me load it. We can play the headlines.
All right.
Let's do the headlines while he loads.
All right, we can do that. That's cool. Let me see here. All right, where should we begin, Pums? What are you most interested in this morning? We've got a story from EWN about the president. We've got crocodiles that escaped from that farm 3 months ago. They've been recaptured. Which one drives you more?
Let's start with the crocodiles.
Okay, so yeah, because I mean, who could tell the difference between crocodiles and politicians? So 83 crocodiles that you will remember escaped from a Bonnievale farm in the Western Cape 3 months ago. They've all been recaptured. Amazing work.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? Like sometimes, you know, R1 billion goes missing in South Africa and nobody can find it, but we can find every one of 83 crocodiles. That's phenomenal. Congratulations to the team that have managed to track down all of these crocs. nearly 3 months
ago. So where were they? Where did they find them? Like, that's a lot of crocodiles. I remember when that story came out.
Well, Environmental Affairs MEC spokesperson James Brent Stein said 51 crocodiles were euthanized and 32 were captured alive. So they didn't capture all of them alive. He said Cape Nature would continue with at least one night's river patrol a week. The crocodile facility has been inspected. The fence has been repaired. They're in the final process of completing an investigation into what exactly went wrong. And they're pretty much convinced they found all the crocodiles. They've been patrolling up and down this river day and night to find all of them. Because, you know, crocodiles are also active at night. So it's not as if they just sleep. must be horrible to be in that area. And then from one crocodile to another one, Cyril Ramaphosa has come under fire in Parliament over corruption scandals implicating Zweli Mkhize. Yes, the president had to deal with this, showing leadership and breaking promises are the two things that the DA has said he's failed to do. And Cyril's been challenged over the scandal engulfing Health Minister Zweli Mkhize. Parties have debated the presidency's budget in the National Assembly. The DA's Dean McPherson said Ramaphosa offered the country hope when he came into office, but he's since broken those promises he made. So, of course, the DA just taking a chance to make it Cyril and not Zweli's fault. Even though, you know, everybody in the ANC is always keen on collective responsibility. Looks like Zweli Mkhize is having a very tough time here because... You know what the answer
is. Do you think we're going to get a new Minister of Health?
Well, you know who's also under fire is Dr. Fauci in America. A whole lot of his emails have been circulated, emails that implicate him in all kinds of things that he has promised us he wasn't involved in. You could see the panic in his department. There's a lot of politics there instead of science. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dr. Fauci gets replaced sometime soon. Now, that's going to break a whole lot of hearts because there were people who, remember, were making songs up about Dr. Fauci. Do you remember that?
Well,
the most terrible songs, the most terrible, terrible songs you've ever heard in your life. So bad.
They needed their hits, right?
Yeah, I mean, just so awful. Anyway, those people are going to be crying a lot because they like Dr. Fauci so much. So, he might be fired, and then Zweli Mkhize might have to take a leave of absence or something. Who knows? Here's the Dr. Fauci song.
Step down rule.
Yeah, that's what they said, right? So if it's good
Gareth.
Yeah.
Correction. Well, not really correction, but point of order, comrade. I had to rain on the parade. Music. We can't play music.
Ah, fuck.
And so also can't play the All By Myself video.
Ah, damn. See, this is why YouTube needs to get their shit together. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, he sings this horrible Dr. Fauci song, and now he's going to be crying because Dr. Fauci's been found to be a lot less scientific, pure and clean as he wanted us to think.
Would you like to sing it for us instead?
No, I don't know the words. Are you kidding?
No. Okay. No.
Apparently, according to the special special investigations unit, we're on course to recover 614 million rand related to COVID PPE corruption. So they are going to get some of that money back. They say they are going to go into Bandile Masuku, the Gauteng Health MEC's portfolio, and find the money there. PPE expenditure from April last year to March this year is totaled at around 126 billion. But they say they'll be able to get 614 million back that was stolen. They're gonna recover what they say is 11% of the money that was corruptly stolen. Do you think that they'll get it back? I don't know. I think it's probably been spent already.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, the recovery of stolen money.
Yes.
Or misappropriated funds, mm-hmm. as they call it.
Yeah.
And wondering which makes me feel better. The fact that the money has been brought back, even if it's like 10% of the money, or would I feel much better if people went to jail?
Can't we have both?
You know what? I want to save this for the burning platform because I had a debate the other day with someone who says that we need an amnesty. If we say to all these politicians who've been caught with their hands in the cookie jar, listen, You've got to come forward, declare, and give back whatever you can, and then you will get amnesty. We will not prosecute you. There's a part of me that says, just because legal processes take so long and to put them in jail would take years, maybe this is the way to do it, and we'd get some of that money back, right? And then people will realize, oh my God, if you get caught with your hand in the till, you're going to pay the price. So I don't know.
Well, like what? We're going to repossess their Gucci slippers.
Well, we got to do something, and we'll look at those solutions in the burning platform a bit later on, because there are many options on the table.
Okay.
I don't want to let's not jump the gun on this one. Speaking of guns, 16 police officers have been linked to KZN's politically related crimes, and they've been arrested, according to Becky Tele. Police Minister Becky Tele said 16 police officers who had been arrested for their links to politically related crimes since 2018 are now in custody. He's given updates on the work of the Interministerial Committee on Political Killings. He said the involvement of law enforcement officers was concerning and was being closely looked into. You think he didn't know?
So basically, every time he comes out with the numbers, they're always so underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, like 16 policemen. Right. What, 16 policemen are in custody? There's so many. There's so much going wrong in that department. But hey, we've got 16 of them.
At least we've got 16. Like, let's count our blessings, right, Pums? We'll take what we can get at this stage.
So underwhelming. His numbers are always so underwhelming. It's like, what else did he was reporting on? And the number of kind of cases that have been closed, GPV. And I'm just like, those numbers are so tiny.
It's tiny.
We hear all these huge numbers. And then when he comes out with his like little wins, they're so little.
Well, and he's still so proud of them. You know, we were able to identify these people. This is it. We are cracking down. Please.
Well, listen to this. 16 people. You want to hear some uninspiring and underwhelming numbers. So he said since 2018, the Interministerial Task Team had investigated 226 dockets, right, in which 251 arrests had been made involving politically related cases. The minister said 46 suspects had been found guilty, and among them 30 had been convicted of murder. 30 murderers. Murderers. Not 30 people who were, you know, it's unbelievable.
Since 2018. This is like three years ago. It's kind of upset.
Like, I think it's a problem, to put it lightly. Joe Biden says he's looking at Russia retaliation over a cyber attack. He said he's looking at a possible retaliation after the White House linked Russia to a cyber attack against global meat processing giant JBS. Asked by a reporter if he would take action against Vladimir Putin, whom he will meet for a summit in Geneva later this month, he said, "We're looking closely at that issue." The ransomware attack on a U.S. subsidiary of Brazilian-owned JBS has again prompted accusations that Russia is harboring cyber criminals. They're not harboring them. They're actively engaging them to make sure that they get out there and they start causing trouble for people in the U.S. and for businesses in the U.S., right? This is not a controversial point of view. This is a fact now, surely.
But wow, a cyber attack on a meat processing company.
Correct. Oh, how do you like
think
that?
About all that.
A meat processing company has been cyber attacked. I mean, this is the world we live in now. Welcome to 2021, everybody. Joe Biden. Do you think that Joe Biden will even know who he's sitting next to at the summit? That's the tough part.
Oh, come on.
Like, hey, how you doing, Kamala? I'm Angela Merkel. Imagine. Anyway. All right.
That's Grandpa Joe some slack.
Sia has been watching a documentary called Selling Spelling Manor, which is all about this incredible house in Beverly Hills, which Aaron Spelling, the great inventor of soap operas, wasn't he? I mean, he was the guy who he was like the king of daytime television. He produced and created many of the great soap operas. And Aaron Spelling's daughter, of course, is the well-known Tori Spelling. And her
Falcon Crests of this world.
That's right. And Tori Spelling was well-known because she shot to fame in Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills 90210, baby.
That's right. And she got that job, obviously, because of dad, because she was definitely the least attractive person on the show by anybody's estimation. No, she would come on. Don't make me look like the bad guy. You know that's true. If you ever watched that show, you know that.
You
right?
did that yourself. I didn't say.
I'm not the bad guy. She was easily the ugliest.
Completely unprovoked.
She was
completely
so unprovoked. Ugly compared to all the other girls on that show.
Hi, man.
Jeez. Okay.
So tell me about this show, Sia. What are they actually doing?
It's an old documentary filmed years ago as, you know, there's rich and then there's opulence and then mm-hmm. there's disgusting opulence.
Right.
And that's a lot coming from you.
Oh, thanks. it's headed up by Candy Spelling, who is Aaron Spelling's wife and Tori Spelling's mother, mm-hmm. as they are trying to get rid of this house. They're trying to sell the manor. And so they did a two-part documentary around the house. It is ridiculous how
is
these
the voice
people
over,
lived.
Is the voiceover by Robert Leach?
I don't know who. Is
Welcome.
That the guy from like
Lifestyles
Rich and Famous?
Welcome yes. to the lovely, amazing house of Aaron and Candy Spelling. This week on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, we go into their pool on a jet ski. We climb up to the main bedroom via a zip line, and we parachute into the expansive bathrooms. That kind of thing.
So, you know, Tori actually revealed that they predominantly used four rooms in the whole house.
As all of us do.
Yes. So she says they used the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They used their office, you know, which the father often brought them into. They used their parents' bedroom, and then she would use her bedroom, but nothing else. But cut to at the end of it, that manor, it was called the manor, had 123 rooms, and just has. It just has things that are so unnecessary, but in their minds are necessary. Candy loved to gift wrap, and she loved, you know, just to be meticulous about it. So she had two gift wrapping rooms.
Bless her.
Two gift wrapping rooms.
That's when you know you've got just money to burn, right?
Not just one, but two. They have a bowling alley in there. They had a doll museum because that's what Candy absolutely loved.
That is so creepy.
And
a doll museum.
As a standard procedure, there were a minimum of 20 people who were there just to service the house. And this isn't just like, you know, chefs or people to, you know, do the laundry, actually service the house, maintenance.
Dude, 100 and how many rooms?
23.
123.
Do you know how many light bulbs that is?
Yeah. Yeah.
How
many shelves need to be wiped down, the lawn
There's probably a bathroom every single week that needs some plumbing thing done to it because you've maybe got, 30 bathrooms and 30 different plumbing installations? I mean, listen, don't get me wrong.
And you have to flush the bathroom. Like, you have to flush the toilet.
Yes.
Right.
When you're not, you actually have to flush your toilet to circulate that water, yes. even if you're not using it all the time. Like, somebody had to go and walk around and flush all the toilets.
It's so bizarre to me.
So, all right, I want us to do a little fantasy thing this morning because, you know, I love talking about this particular thing, but it's such a cool thing to discuss. So if you had money to burn and you lived in – you know, absolute luxury. What would your, like, treat to yourself special room be? What would the room be that you would construct just for Pumi, just for Sia? And if you're listening to us this morning, what would your room be that you would build? I mean, I could choose. I could say, I've already got them. I can, you know, I've got the studio in my study, which I suppose is a luxury, but it's also part of work. So you can call it whatever you like. I think it's a cool thing to have a studio in your house, especially if you do a show every day. And I've got like a hobby room / laboratory, which is bizarre. Most people don't have that. But if you could have any room that you wanted, what would you have in your house?
a dark room because I love the old school photography, like processing film. I don't know where the chemicals. I'd have to ask Gareth to make the chemicals because that's one of the things that has become very rare.
Yeah, you need
everybody
silver nitrate.
Everybody takes digital images,
mm-hmm.
and I would totally have a disco, like soundproof DJ booth,
mm-hmm.
mirror ball, lights, the works, so that I could like have a throwdown with me and my friends.
Hmm.
Well, I hate to spoil this for you. It's not just in the realm of fantasy. One of my friends, he and his wife. They used to be big.
Have a disco.
They have. Well, okay. So I'll explain it to you this way. They used to be ravers back in the day. All right. They used to go to these like 48-hour parties, and then they had a child, and everything changed. But when they built their house, which is in Midrand, they built a room under the house, which is totally soundproofed. It's not big. It's probably,
that's it.
You could maybe fit, I don't know.
20 people.
Maybe 20 people. Maybe. It would be quite close. 20 people. They've got lights. They've got soundproofing on the walls. They've got a huge sound system in there. It's very cool. And nobody in the whole neighborhood can hear anything when they're having a party in there. So technically they have it.
That's what I want.
It also doubles as like a movie room so they can use the sound system. Yeah, yeah. Mm. So that's cool. I think that is actually very
That's
cool.
what I want.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's very cool. Winsterian Pikachu says he would have a sex dungeon. So yeah, I knew that we'd
Okay, Christian Grey.
Kutle Nkosi says, I would have a man cave with a huge TV, surround sound, and a bar. Yeah, that's also very cool. Mm. That's awesome. Bryn says, I would need an observatory and a big telescope, a Musa telescope. Yeah, that's cool too. Pumlani says, a brewery. Sure.
Oh.
A brewery in your house. Pretty cool.
Hmm.
What about you, Sia? What would you have?
It's not that I don't understand the assignment, but there's nothing that I'm necessarily like dying over. I'm more impressed by land. So that's why I never am truly impressed by these gorgeous houses, but they'll be in an estate. So you still see your neighbor or like, then your neighbor's kids will still be running around. If I can get a lot of land. I don't mean it to be an Oprah reference this early in the morning.
Oh, God.
But in Oprah's estate, and she calls it the Promised Land in Montecito, California. She actually has a, you know, those trolleys in San Francisco that go up and down the hills.
Trams.
She needs one of those to go around the estate because that's how big the estate is. Now, ooh, that gets me going. You see, when I can't even see my gate, if I even have to go and fetch my mail, like, God. Okay, bring the tram going to the front gate. That's sexy.
It's incredible.
Me. And then with her, property in Hawaii, in Maui, she actually had to construct a new road from the main road, and was a big thing getting regulation and getting the authorities in Maui to approve this road because that's just how massive the property was. And she needed a way to cut down time instead of just being on the highway and getting onto the side roads. So land for me is it.
Wow. If you can build your own off ramp from the highway, that's big
come
money.
Come on.
Yes, sis.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll skip the gift wrapping room for that.
Well, there are lots of other suggestions here. Eleutheria says, I would like a sewing room with a door that locks. No one can bother me. If you've got a hobby like that, it's awesome to come up with an idea for a room. Aperture King says, definitely a tech museum. And Errol says, I would have a room like Elvis had in Graceland, a jungle room. That's also cool.
Mm.
Sia needs a walk-in.
What would you do after you already have the lab?
No, there's no, I mean, maybe a music room. You know, Randall has a room like that in his house, which I always thought was really cool. Randall Abrahams. He's got this, it's just a room with a very comfortable chair and a sofa and this unbelievable sound system. And he stores all his music there as well in these beautiful shelves. So that would be quite
big windows so the sun streams in.
Yeah. But of course, windows are not good for sound because the sound bounces off the glass. So you actually want less windows, but it's amazing, right? Yeah, you could wear headphones. He does wear headphones. That's true. Corona's Boring says, I need a hollow theater where I can get one of those. Mapelo says, I would like a big shooting range in my house. A shooting range? Wow.
Inside the house?
Yeah, underground. You can have that.
Okay.
That's very cool. Oh, hey, everybody has to listen, like and subscribe, please. So who's going to do it this morning? Pums, will you do the standard YouTuber like and subscribe message, please? Here's Pumi Mashiho with a like and subscribe message. Just make it up.
Hello, everybody. Just smash the like button at the bottom here.
She's
and subscribe
it.
So that you get every new episode direct to your feed.
There we go. Pumi Mashiho telling you
that. That's how the YouTubers do it. That's smash the like button.
Perfect.
Everyone gets it. Everyone gets it right. Yeah. Perfect. Oh, Gareth, we had that great suggestion by Nikki who emailed us.
Hmm? Oh, yes, I'll get to that. Maybe we will save that for tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to have time today.
Okay.
But it's a really good suggestion. I don't want to rush into it when we've got like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute left to the burning platform, which is coming right up. I just want to finish off with these.
Oh, sorry, it was Nikita, not Nikki, yes.
Yondela says, I'd like a room full of classic cars. That's very cool. You'd obviously have to have the money for the cars as well, but that's awesome. Zach says, a full-on man cave with the best stereo system, genuine leather barber chair, and a collection of vinyls and expensive art. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Mm. That's also very, very cool. Okay. Mm. Well, that's...
Art. Very cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, your whole home can be like an art gallery if you're an art collector, and that's also a cool thing. Of course, you don't want your kids walking around with crayons drawing on like priceless art, but that happens. Parents know these problems. They understand these things. Okay, when we come back.
Sharon, for some of you guys, you can have all of these things. Just wait for the kids to grow up, leave the house, and then you have a spare room to do something with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like my mother. As soon as we were all out of there,
yeah,
she made all your rooms into stuff. Oh, no.
Did she?
No, like, you know, I think we only technically only have like one guest bedroom now, but everything else is now things for her. It's just whatever she wants.
I love it. All right. When we come back, it's
Mama's got her priorities straight.
The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. And we'll be joined this morning by Martin van Staden, who is a return competitor in the Burning Platform. Pumi Mashiho will be with us. It's going to be lots of fun. If you want to hear what's going on in the world, you've come to the right place on the right day. CliffCentral.com.